We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Roethlisberger in an empty backfield, standing at the 40, takes the snap. He's back. He is going over the top to a wide-open Claypool, who's in for the touchdown.
That guy again?
Again.
Wide open.
Wide open. I mean, wide open. How can they not cover him?
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. Yes, Nate Jerry on the coverage. That's why it was wide open. It's Marks and Reese. I'm John. He's Ike. Ike, Eagles lose. Everybody wants, including me, wants to know your takeaways from yesterday's game. Give it to me.
Well, I tell you what, Johnny Marks. So many different emotions surrounding that game yesterday. I'll start with the positives. I thought the team played a spirited game for the most part. Not necessarily a perfect game, not necessarily a well-executed game, but they, in my opinion, were up for the challenge from the standpoint of, you know, this is a team that, quite frankly, their biggest carrot that they've had a chance to eat was beating up on Nick Mullins in San Francisco a week ago. So it's not like they had a whole lot to sort of stand on as far as ground going in here against an undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers team with the number one defense and Big Ben Roethlisberger at the quarterback position. But that's not how they played. They went in there with the intentions of winning. I thought the effort was there for the most part. I like what I saw offensively for the most part. We continue to watch this young group of receivers grow with Carson. He gets more comfortable. I think by far his best game of the season. And listen, the bar was low. Let's not act like he had a player of the week in here mixed in somewhere. No, it's the bar's been low through the first four games as far as improving on the play. But I just thought it was the first time I felt a little bit of confidence with the offense all year long. You know, this kid, Travis Fulgham, wow. We're getting to know him, and I'm looking forward to getting to know him even more in the next few weeks. Couldn't run the ball, but we had the one big run from Miles Sanders. Thought the offensive line did an admirable job considering what they were going up against and who they are as a unit right now at this point in the season. And then you look at the defense, man. It just, you know, the defense in two games against what we would consider quality quarterbacks, regardless of what you think about Jared Goff, he is a quality quarterback in this league. Two games against quality quarterbacks, they seem to have had their way against our defense. Quarterbacks untouched all game, clean pockets, getting the ball out, seemingly with no real defense in the area of wide receivers where you're contesting some of these throws. I mean, Big Ben at one point, was he 15 for 15 on third down?
I think he was 13 for 13.
13
on the day.
For 13?
That's almost impossible.
Right? And where did Jared Goff start the day off at? Wasn't it 13 for 13?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right.
So against quality quarterbacks, we don't seem to have an effect on them. You don't make your money for beating up on Dwayne Haskins and a rookie quarterback and Nick Mullins. You make your money going up against the better quarterbacks in this league. And twice that's happened, and twice you get 37. I think the Rams scored 37, right? They scored 37, and Pittsburgh scored 38.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and you can't put this one on the offense.
No, because the offense gave you 29, and you were right there in the game. So I'm disappointed in the defensive effort yesterday, and they got to get it fixed. I don't know how, but Jim Schwartz, when you're going up against better quarterbacks, like you're going to see the rest of the way, except for Daniel Jones and whoever's starting for Washington last game of the season. I don't know who it's going to be.
Could be anybody.
Could be anybody in there starting. But other than that, you're going to see quality quarterbacks the rest of the way, whether it's Baker, Kyler Murray, or whomever. And right now, I wouldn't have confidence in this defense against any of those quarterbacks.
Well, I agree.
So I didn't like that. But in a strange way, John, and maybe it's because my bar has been set a little low, I don't like moral victories.
Uh-oh. Is it a moral victory Monday? We getting a victory chant?
No, you're not getting a victory chant, no. I don't like moral victories, but I can't help. Listen, my bar is set low, man. I got to take something out of that game yesterday, and I got to admit, it was good to see Carson getting the ball down the field, a receiver going up and catching the ball for him. My goodness. Man, Travis Fulgham, 10 for 150?
Yeah, I think he can play. I don't think this is just a
and another touchdown?
He's good.
Did he get a touchdown or a two-point
conversion?
He got a touchdown, right?
Yeah.
And how about that? Listen, boy, the Bronco laid some throws out there yesterday. He's getting close. Fritzy, Johnny Marks, he's getting close.
He's good.
He's getting close. So getting close to being back there. He's getting close.
So overall, what you saw from the offense gave you more of a better feeling based on what the defense did.
Yes.
All right, so you're going moral victory Monday. Victory! I do. And by the way, everything that you said about the offense, I agree with. I thought it was the best that Carson looked all year. He didn't have to run around to make plays. Like he didn't have to put his cape on and do backflips to get throws. I mean, the offensive line did a pretty good job considering they were going against the Steelers.
Yeah. And not to cut you off.
No, go.
But to the point you just made, the QBR stat encompasses everything out there.
Sure.
Just about every measure of the quarterback. And with those two interceptions he had yesterday and only 250 yards, he had an 81.5 QBR.
Still a good one.
Not a quarterback rating, the QBR.
Right.
Which is the one that judges you a little more critically.
Fairly. Yeah.
And fairly. Big Ben had an 84. Carson had an 81. That lets you know he hasn't been anywhere close to an 81 this year.
Yeah, and those two interceptions were neither of his fault, and we'll talk about all that. Ike, you'll break down the Chase Claypool touchdown at the end of the game as well, because I know a lot of people are coming to the show to hear what you have to say about it. Mm. And like, so I'm happy with the offense. I really am. I mean, Fulgham was good yesterday. Carson was good. Other than the one run from Miles Sanders, the Steelers bottled up their running game, but they had the best running defense in the NFL, so you kind of expected it was going to be a tough game. I thought the offensive line competed. Mailata before that last play, or the last whenever he gave up that late sack,
that sack,
was really good. So we'll have Trey tomorrow to talk about that, but you know what? Like, I can't, and I'm still pissed about it. Doug Peterson made a terrible decision yesterday to go for a field goal. And listen, I listened to some of the station today. I haven't heard enough about this because everybody's on Jim Schwartz. And by the way, Jim Schwartz, I don't like him. It was a bad game, whatever. Like, he can leave tomorrow and I'm not going to worry about it. But I'm not going to sit here and kill Jim Schwartz today because I don't care, right? Doug Peterson had a chance to go for it on a 4th-and-4, where, by the way, he's went for it on 4th-and-4s last week he went for it on a 4th-and-4 where he could have kicked a field goal, and he went back out there, threw a slant pass to John Hightower, converted, they ended up going down the field. A 57-yard field goal in Heinz Field would have been the record for Heinz Field. 55 yards is the all-time longest kick in Heinz Field. So he's sending out a kicker in one of the toughest places to kick in the NFL. And here's the other thing, though. All right, it's 4th-and-4, 3:27 to go in a game. Eagles are down 2 points. Even if he makes that kick, Ike, all right, it's good. The Eagles take the lead. They have over 3 minutes. The Steelers have over 3 minutes and two timeouts to march down and kick a field goal of their own to win the game. Yeah. Is there any Eagles fan out there listening right now that has any type of confidence that the Eagles were going to stop Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers there? What he should have done was he should have went for it. If you don't get the first down, you still have three timeouts. You still need to make stops. Otherwise, you get the first down there, now you're in control of the game and the clock. Mm-hmm. The last thing you want to do is put the Steelers' offense back out there. You had an opportunity to run the rest of the clock out with a first down or two, right? So not only did you try to get a field goal to get the lead, but the only thing that mattered was not getting letting the Steelers back out there because they were going to score. All right?
Well, that was sort of my train of thought. As they were moving, I'm thinking, okay, we pick up this first down here, and we're going to get to a point where we don't even have to give the Steelers the ball back, and we can be able to kick this field goal in a walk-off fashion.
I was shocked that he went for the field goal.
Similar to the Chargers game a couple years ago.
2017, yeah. Where they
basically ran the clock out. I know they were leading at the time, but they didn't give the Chargers the ball back, and they used up the last 6-plus minutes.
First down. They have two timeouts. The Steelers have two timeouts and a two-minute warning. If they get two first downs, depending on the sequence of the first downs, they can more or less just hold the ball for a field goal. Mm-hmm. So you're two timeouts away from controlling your own destiny with a much makeable field goal. Instead, Doug goes for it, and listen, they still had a chance to get a stop, but again, it's the Eagles' defense, and it's what the Steelers were able to do to the Eagles' defense all day long. I thought that was the biggest mistake of the game. That's my takeaway, is that before, I feel like Doug used to push the right buttons, and I feel like that he went with his gut yesterday, and his gut was telling him the wrong thing. You go for it. You show confidence in that offense. I mean, Carson Wentz was playing great, right? I mean, the Eagles' offense, for the most part, was playing very well yesterday. Go for it. Get the first down. Control your own destiny, because you know what? This is a missed opportunity. They could have won that game yesterday, right? This is the NFC East, especially with Dak going down now, right? Like, this is up for grabs, and you had an opportunity to win another game. That's a winnable game, and you didn't get it, and that's really disappointing. So while I'm happy the offense was good yesterday, I can't do moral victory Monday. I'm sorry. 215-592-9494. What was he thinking?
You're just going to take my little joy away, huh?
Well, listen. I felt good about the offense all in all. It was like, all right, listen, with Fulgham, with Carson Wentz, with Miles Sanders, looks like he's all right.
Hightower. Come on, baby.
Hightower's driving me nuts already?
Come on, Hightower. You're almost there, man. I need you to take the next step here.
Has he caught a ball before? Was he a wide receiver before? It seems like he's going up with his hands backwards trying to catch it. But, like, we're seeing growth on the offense right now, mm-hmm. with the line and with the skill guys and with Carson.
And as this show goes on today, you know how it pains you to have to scold your child?
Yes.
Well, this isn't about my favorite son, the Bronco.
Is one of my favorite students?
No, this is one of the siblings. Zach Ertz.
Ooh, boy.
Zach Ertz.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz looks like he needs to go behind the barn.
Oh,
215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. What do you feel more today after yesterday's Eagles game? Encouraged or frustrated that was a winnable game? We'll start with you coming up on the phone lines next. It's just us today. Us today. You and I. Us and you. Or whatever.
Us.
Today's show brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. The best in-game experience on game days. Chickies and Pete's. They have indoor and outdoor seating available at all locations. Online, chickiesandpeets.com. Back with you next. Don't go anywhere.
Ball is spotted. The kick is away, and the kick is no good. Wide right. Oh, wide right. He had the distance, and he missed it.
Yeah, that's Merrill from yesterday right here on WIP. He did just miss it. I mean, it's not like that it was nowhere near.
Yeah, it pushed just the wind. Wind probably pushed it.
Last couple yards. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it looked like he was going to sneak in there. Plenty of leg. No good. Tough stadium to kick in. Yeah. Like Heinz Field.
You saw Jake's face was like, wow.
Yeah, it was.
Like, I got a hold of that one.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Here's the
problem. Play the draw right.
Right. Here's the problem. And, you know, they didn't add. No one asked Doug about it today, and I don't think Angelo asked it either this morning. I would like to know his thinking, and I guess he talked about it after the game, but the thinking about going for the field goal there. I mean, I think it helps him that it was close, right, to where it didn't seem like it was totally illogical to do it because he did have enough leg. But the bigger picture is that you give – either way, you're giving the ball back to the Steelers, right? So if you give the ball back to the Steelers after making a field goal, they have over 3 minutes and two timeouts and the two-minute warning to drive down and win the game. So I just an absolutely – and no, everybody's firing Jim Schwartz today. Let's look at the head coach for a second. That is a bad decision. That can be the difference between winning a game and being in first place right now and being in the playoffs at the end of the season or losing a game like they did. And they've lost too many close games like that this year. The Washington game, the Cincinnati game. I mean, at some point, you got to start looking at the head coach about this stuff. And I am.
Now, listen, I can't say I totally disagree with you. I certainly had that thought in my mind of going for it on fourth down as opposed to trying a fourth and, I mean, a 57-yard field goal, because I knew if he missed that field goal, that would be the question. Why didn't you just go for it?
And they had the ball nearly at midfield.
Yes. And so, you know.
And then Chase Claypool happened again, which you will break down the play coming up here.
Right.
So don't go anywhere, everybody.
Yes, I'm sure everybody's excited about that.
I can't wait. Our Twitter question.
But I thought the defense. I thought Jim Schwartz in the defense. Man, we got to come up with something, man.
Are you going to try something?
Where's the adjustments? You know, Pittsburgh, I don't even know. How many balls did they throw deep yesterday? Only a couple?
Well, they were doing jet sweeps.
Everything was short.
And short slants. Yeah. He was getting the ball out early.
Yeah.
Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Thinking of getting engaged, you have to visit Mark's Jewelers and their 25,000-square-foot showroom online. Marks-Jewelers.com. What are you feeling today after yesterday's game? Encouraged or frustrated? Should have won. Jack, you encouraged? Moral victory Monday?
Love a good moral victory Monday. Honestly, like for me, like Carson's clearly back to being Carson. I mean, Carson is well on his way. He was way more accurate yesterday with the
good
pocket.
Yesterday.
He's making that deep throw to the high tower. Should have caught. He Aguilored it. You never want to go full Aguilar. For me, Carson is back to being the Carson that I expected, the Carson from December. Fulgham's arrived. I think the defense is going to be fine.
Really?
Yeah, what do you mean they're going to be fine?
Because Schwartz, like, I'm not the biggest James Schwartz guy, but he does not get torched week in, week out. Like
against the bad offenses, they're better.
The Steelers are just a bad matchup for this team. The linebackers, they can't cover the end around, and the slants, they slant them to death. So, like, I think Schwartz will figure it out, but the offense being back where it is, I'll take a nice moral victory.
You know what, though, Jack? I don't see the Steelers necessarily being a bad matchup. The Ravens are a bad matchup because they have a lot of speed. That could get ugly.
Well, it would have helped if they beat the Bengals and the Washington football team.
Let's go to the phones.
Oh, yeah, let's go back to that.
Yeah, I can't keep doing it. All right, is it moral victory Monday? Let's go to Eric in South Philly. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Eric, how are you?
What's up, E?
Yeah, I had 2 points to make, one on offense, one on defense. For the offense, I just feel like they're suffering from a backup running back position because it's not that they don't trust Miles Sanders. I don't think he's built to handle 20, 25 carries, you know, and a lot of the backup, if they had a good backup running back, they'll be able to run the ball more. So I'm just thinking, like, plays that would go to the backup running back, Carson had to got to throw it. And for the defense, I feel like Jim Schwartz had, like, a good defensive, like, game plan. He did not adjust when Steelers adjusted. Like, after the first quarter, I felt like the Steelers adjusted, and Jim Schwartz just didn't.
Yeah, listen, he may be playing with a little bit of a short deck, right? He's got some injured players out there. Mills is back at corner. That didn't look good yesterday.
Yippee!
Big play. Slade did not look I think we all agree that was probably his worst game as an Eagle.
Definitely.
And it wasn't a Kerry Williams, Bradley Fletcher
game.
Yeah, it wasn't that type of a game, but Byron Maxwell type of a game. But still, through the first 4 weeks, we just hadn't seen anybody go at Darius Slay the way Big Ben decided to. But that's what happens when you get a veteran quarterback.
Yep,
he's going to take his shots from time to time, no matter who you are.
No doubt. Yep.
And they obviously like the matchup with Claypool.
Well, and by the way, every offense comes in running the end around and having success with it.
Oh, my God.
Right? I mean, at some point can Jim
Schwartz.
Until
we stop it.
I mean, Seth Joyner talked about how the ends crash down. I think he counted Brandon doing it a lot of times during one game. Mm-hmm. So, like, other teams see that, and they say, well, if they're going to keep doing that, we'll just keep doing the same thing. They break containment. Like, is Jim Schwartz not aware of this? What is he doing? Because they keep doing it every week. I mean, at some point, you have to look and say, this is what they're doing. How can we stop that?
Now, I can't imagine that they aren't being coached that. That's awareness of the players when out there on the field.
Well, it's not getting through to them, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Let's go to Matt Mayfair's checking in. Matt, how are you, buddy?
Johnny Marks, Ike Reese, how you guys doing?
What's up, Matt?
Completely annoyed. All this moral victory stuff is killing me right now.
Moral victory.
So annoyed.
Is that you, John? Moral victory, or are you the
Ike's moral victory?
No, I'm moral victory.
Ike, you're a moral victory.
Yes.
Were you listening to the show, or were you?
You just
sleeping.
No, I just jumped in.
I'm trying to multitask here.
All
right. So listen, moral victory. Is it moral victory Miles Sanders rushing the ball 10 times for 6 yards?
Nope, but he did break off one for 73.
That's the moral victory.
Take that take that one off the pile.
How do I take that one off the pile? I mean, Barry Sanders used to do it every week.
Oh, come on. Like, are you comparing Barry Sanders and Miles Sanders?
No, but he would have a lot of negative
I'm
plays.
Saying,
and
yeah,
then
exactly.
He would bust
yeah, he would bust one or two of those. That's all I'm saying. I'm just – listen, Matt. We know it wasn't a good day for the run game, brother, except for one run. We all agree with you on that.
Right.
And do you agree that John Hightower, by dropping that ball in the end zone, cost that game? That was a beautiful pass.
I won't say it cost him the game. I mean, that was the first half, right? That was right before halftime?
Yeah, right before.
Yeah, it was right before halftime. No, it was a lot of football. Listen, they went down, 31-14.
And I thought, here's where it gets ugly. And they fought back.
Oh, no doubt about it. I looked at my wife and said, ball game.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I was ready to start paying attention to the red zone here. Now, speaking of John Hightower, mm-hmm. the play before half where he's trying to run around and get a first down instead of going out of bounds.
Right, yeah.
That cost him big time.
Yeah, young fella. This isn't college. The clock doesn't stop when you get a first down, which you did not get, by the way. Get your butt out of bounds. Like, seriously. Like, you have to understand that the clock is against you. So when you got a pass that's leading you towards out of bounds, just go ahead and get out of bounds and stop the clock. Because that's ultimately what you want to do is get out of bounds to stop the clock.
You get one more shot, whether it's a field goal or a shot at the end zone, if he gets out of bounds. I mean, without a doubt.
And you don't have to burn the timeout.
Right. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go to Quentin in Stratford's here. Quentin, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
What's up, Q?
Yeah, just wanted to talk about the defense a little bit. I don't know about you guys, but I thought Rodney McLeod played a phenomenal game yesterday. He played very well, in my opinion. I think Nate Gary's got to go immediately, and Schwartz is getting on my nerves now.
So hold on a second. He's got to go immediately. So who plays instead of Nate Gary or Jerry or whatever his name is?
What is that one guy's name with the long hair? Singleton, I think.
Oh, Singleton.
Yeah, put him out there. Here's the problem.
Look better in my opinion.
Here's the problem. We're gonna beat up on Nate Gary. The problem is he's their best linebacker that they have available to play, right? So that's a reflection of Howie Roseman and or Jim Schwartz. If Jim Schwartz has this much power, then he can tell Howie Roseman, dude, you got to give me better linebackers, mm-hmm. and he hasn't done that. So like as much
or how about just pick better linebackers?
Yeah.
I mean, Jim Schwartz probably has a lot of say in who he wants to be in his defense. When they drafted Nate, I'm pretty sure Jim Schwartz gave his blessings to that draft pick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. He said, I can use him at linebacker.
Yeah.
He's a guy I can use. Right? Like, I mean, at some point, we have to look at really who's to blame for this. If you're putting crappy players out on the field that aren't good enough. Like, Nate Gary's a good piece on your team.
By the way, they took Davion Taylor in the third round?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he playing?
Didn't play a snap yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, like Sean Bradley played a couple snaps.
Yeah, that was made a nice tackle too. Yep. As a matter of fact, I'm all in favor of Sean Bradley being the starting middle linebacker. Off of two plays I've seen him make this year, I want him to be the starting linebacker.
Yeah, why not?
Well, and the other problem is LJ Ford is down in Baltimore, and he was their first free agent signing last year, and they got rid of him to play Nate Gary.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you can.
Yeah, that's Jim Schwartz. Yeah, he loves Nate.
Yes.
By the way, don't watch any Seahawks games for the rest of your life because you're going to be angry every time you watch the games because you see DK Metcalf every week dominating games.
I mean, we have Travis Fulgham now. We don't have to worry about DK.
Well, I mean, it helps. Yeah, but J-Jaw did have a catch yesterday, Ike.
He did. And boy, was he happy.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, if you could have been in the house when I was yelling at the TV when that was going down. Idiot.
Could you?
And listen, I don't even know, had he not celebrated, would they have been able to clock the ball? Because I just think it was a pass that Pittsburgh was willing to give up and not let J.J. get out of bounds because they knew that ball was thrown too deep down the field for them to be able to rush up to the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And clock the ball. So, but it was irritating to see because it's like, dude, you ain't made a catch all year. Now you want to celebrate when the clock is running?
Oh, celebration by Cooling the Gang is going off in his head, Ike. He was so happy. He was so damn happy. And of course, the only catch he makes doesn't even count or matter.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's exactly the way Pittsburgh looked at it. Yeah, you can have that.
Yeah,
that's just a stat pattern. Yeah, we're not going to let you get out of bounds, and we know the clock is going to run out.
All right, who's encouraged? Who's frustrated? Rasheem, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Sheem?
What's up, Ra?
Hey. Right. You know, I'm not big on the more victories, you know, situation. I think the Eagles should have won that game. Too many times where we could go off the field, just like Doug said, the offsides, the Craven LeBlanc missing Eric Ebron on that 3rd and 5. That's the same drive they scored on. If he just would have made that tackle, I think we probably would have won that game just off that one mistake.
Yep. Yeah.
Missed tackles. Yep. I'm definitely encouraged with Carson
point.
Wentz. I'm definitely encouraged with Carson. Remember last week, Ike, when I was saying sometimes you need to make your wide receivers better? Everything Travis Fulgham did yesterday, besides his ability, was Carson Wentz put the ball in position for him to go up and make those type of catches. And, you know, Travis Fulgham credited Carson Wentz, you know, you just giving him that chance. That's the thing I like to see. You got to give the young guys the opportunity. Same thing with John Hightower, even though he didn't make that catch, and I think the pass would have been out of bounds. But that's just, you know, opportunities that I think Carson Wentz will give guys more and more as the season go on. So I think it's a big confidence boost on that end, even though we're 1-4-1. You know, it's heartbreaking, but I could agree with you. I would definitely encourage what I've seen from, you know, on the offense side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Ra, and to your point, if Wentz puts the ball in an area where you can go up and make a play, we need you to go up and make a play. And that's what Travis Fulgham was able to do yesterday. I can't really think of it in the Hightower pass. And again, even Doug pointed this out, and I'm sure he made sure he didn't want to crush the young fella on the play. We don't know if he would have gotten his feet in bounds. Yeah. But here's the thing that I will say. And this is a fourth-round draft pick. This isn't the first-round draft pick, and he's a rookie. I get it. But I'm watching players around the league on Sunday make spectacular catches. Like routine catches in the NFL, yeah, everybody can make the routine catches. But when we're talking about your quarterback needing you to make a play and how some of these teams are winning games, their receivers are going up and making plays. And if that means you got to keep your feet in bounds like Michael Gallup did yesterday,
To win that game? Yeah.
When Andy Dalton came in, that's what it means you have to do sometimes. That you have to make more than the routine play. Like the quarterback can't always make a outstanding throw and catch the ball for you.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you got to make an outstanding play, and I don't care really what round you were drafted in, because I'm seeing undrafted guys that were cut like a Travis Fulgham, make plays. Now, why can a guy like Travis Fulgham make these type of plays, but we yell about Nelson Aguilar making plays? By the way, he's making plays in Las Vegas now.
Touchdown.
This is what we were talking about last year when guys were dropping balls.
Yep.
And we're talking about Carson's not putting the ball in this area or that area. Dude, sometimes NFL players got to go make plays. And Fulgham has made some nice catches, and they haven't been all routine catches.
No, I mean like
that catch over the middle of the field.
Oh wow, yeah,
the big one down the middle before the Greg Ward touchdown.
Yeah, oh yeah, unbelievable.
Man, beautiful throw and catch versus man-to-man coverage.
But you can already tell that Carson likes him because he was throwing high to him,
yes.
And he's going up and getting him.
Yes,
yeah, he's good. He's good. I don't think for a second this is kind of an outlier game where they weren't paying attention to him.
I tell you what, John. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I was on the opposite.
It was two Sundays ago.
Yeah. Hey, man. I'm willing to look at it and see. I'm certainly not taking him out of there until he gives me a reason to take him out of there.
Yeah.
Why would I?
Well, now
he just had a day yesterday that I haven't seen since Jeremy Maclin in 2014.
Well,
10 catches, 150-some yards, and a touchdown?
Was it Rube that tweeted out all the great wide receivers like Harold Carmichael and Mike Quick?
Yeah.
They never had 10 for 150.
Yeah.
Plus in their Eagles career.
Yeah.
10 for 150 is not a mistake. Like you can't,
no,
you can't luck
good.
Into 10 catches
now,
for 150.
Now, here's the thing. Now defenses will say, okay, this guy's pretty good, so.
Well, now you get the best corner.
Right. Yeah, they're not going to be like, who the hell is this guy? What's his
right.
last name?
Yeah, now you've caught the attention of everybody. Next week, he'll be lined up against Marlon Humphrey.
By the way, this time last week, we still didn't remember his name. You,
yes.
I'm sure we know his name
we got
now.
Got it now. Travis Fulgham, baby.
10 catches.
Hey, this show, you got to earn your name. You got to earn your name.
I would say
he earned it.
Listen, he earned it more than Jamal. What's the guy? Josh Adams. When you wanted to give him the Adams Family song.
I think he had a touchdown last week, Josh Adams.
Did he?
Yeah. Still in the league?
He's still playing.
In the Jets. Canadian Football League?
I think he plays for the Jets.
Who doesn't play for? Yeah, whoever plays for the Jets, we don't know him.
What a talent.
And we don't want him either.
What an evaluator of talent Joe Douglas is.
Give me – we're going to do the Chase Claypool, the final touchdown for the Steelers coming up.
Oh, man, I just seen it.
In a second. But give me a minute on the first interception for Carson Wentz where Zach Ertz – is knocked off his spot. Now, it was 6 yards from the line of scrimmage, and I saw a lot of people saying that should have been a penalty.
Should have.
I mean, technically, yes, but it's close enough to where a referee may have just been like, oh, well, that was 5 yards.
Well, they were terrible yesterday.
They were terrible.
They called it when they shouldn't have called it, and then they missed some that they should have called yesterday. You know, at first, I was all about that being Zach Ertz's fault. Now, I don't know who the primary read was on the play, but if you go back and watch it, it could be a pick play for Miles Sanders to the flat. Was Miles the primary read there? Is that where Carson wanted to go? Or is he waiting for Zach Ertz to come around that corner and be ready to catch the football? That's obviously what he was anticipating. And that's the quarterback's choice. I'll say this. Carson may not feel as comfortable making that throw to Miles Sanders to his left.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. We know he's short-armed a couple. He's overthrown him.
Yep, he's been off.
So he may just feel more comfortable waiting on Zach to come there.
Well, and get a couple yards. I mean, it would have been 7-8 yards easy.
Yes. Yes. And it was a relatively safe throw. It wasn't a throw in a double coverage or what have you. It happened on another play. Zach was late coming out or getting his head around. And Carson
– and it went by him.
And it went
like,
right
oh,
by him.
Go?
And he
yeah.
didn't even know. Yep. And that was the play that made me wonder, where's Zach's head at right now?
Yep.
Is he all in? Is he connected? Where's his head at? Is this contract thing messing with him? Right? Like the last couple, it just looks like he's somewhere else, man. Doesn't play with the same energy, doesn't play with the same fight. I know Carson's missed him a couple times. But that's not the first time Carson's missed him. He doesn't normally let that frustrate him. Now it's frustrating him because I believe he believes every time Carson misses him, that's money he's missing out on. He doesn't like the little 3-yard routes he got against San Francisco. He wants the touchdowns in the end zone. You know, he wants to be able to catch the ball deep down the middle of the field. And he's not getting any of those. And so he's frustrated with the little 2- and 3-yard catches because he doesn't make people miss. And some of these shorter routes that he's being asked to run doesn't look like he's running them anticipating he's getting the ball or he really wants the ball.
Yeah, you could be out there running around not trying to really, like, or you can be, get me the ball.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. Yeah, I mean, the energy's missing from Zach Ertz.
Something, yep. man. Something. And dude, Doug's answer last night, and I'm glad he came back different today because last night my antennas
were like,
perked up.
Yeah, no, you're right.
When he said maybe he needs to look in the mirror himself, whoo.
15 yards in 2 games.
Whoo.
He said
maybe he needs to look in the mirror in himself. Man.
All right, on the other side, and we appreciate everybody holding, we'll get to you. Chase Claypool, 4 touchdowns, Ike? Like, really? 4 touchdowns? Went 49th in the second round. A couple of picks later, the Eagles took a quarterback. Hey, Jalen Hurts had a completion yesterday.
Nice throw.
It was a nice throw.
What do you think about the Jalen Hurts package yesterday? You like it?
Anytime he comes in, I don't like it. You know that.
I liked it yesterday.
We're going to go inside of the
– good throw, man.
We like the package that they brought in, right?
We all said,
I need to see the package.
I said, oh, he let him throw it. He threw it.
Well, it's about time they let him throw it.
Defense
is just going to key off on him.
So we're going to go inside the play with Ike. He's going to explain what happened on the Chase Claypool touchdown. A lot of people are saying you take a timeout there. Other people are questioning why they would have the linebacker, why would they have Jerry out there covering him, what is Jim Schwartz doing. We'll go inside the play with Ike. That's coming up next, right after this. Today's broadcast brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Pete's Home Gating is here. Order Chickies and Pete's to go for your game watch party. Chickies and Pete's, official caterer and proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Back after this. But hey, listen, if you're looking for that new car, but you don't want to go to the dealership, right? Well, check out Get a Car. You can do it right now on your phone, on your laptop, at your work. Get it with two T's, GETTACAR.com. And here's how it works. You shop online, you see the cars that you like, so then you click on it, boom, and you say you want to test drive it. Get a Car brings the car to your neighborhood, to your house, and you test drive it in your neighborhood. The vehicles are sanitized. It's contactless delivery. They leave the car for you. You take it around, test drive it. If you like it, keep it. If you don't like it, just tell them to take it back. It's a test drive. That's it. And if you do end up keeping it, they'll give you a full refund within 7 days. So shop online at getacar.com. They bring the car to you, test drive it in your neighborhood. If you like it, keep it. If you don't, take it back. And a full refund within 7 days. And this month, $250 towards your new car. Use promo code WIP. That's promo code WIP for $250 off your new car. That's getacar, GETTACAR.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.